A Christmas gift for Lisa. Montreal Expo's jersey.
Yeah, that would look great under the tree. Welcome to another week of the Kaufman Show. We are back and we are happy to be here. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin, Jimmy G on the board. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
A little bit under the weather, but I still sound like love.
You do still sound like love.
Thank you.
And we love your voice here.
Oh, well. God.
You walked into it. Oh, shucks.
I blush.
Oh.
I blush, sir. You flatter me, sir.
Hi, Mark Griffin.
Hello, guys, and happy belated birthday, Jay.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
Well, you don't want to tell the whole city why he's not feeling well today. I don't think it's necessary. Good party last night, Jay?
It was. A lot of friends showed up. A lot of former friends didn't. So... No, it was. It was a lot of fun. I was under the weather on Saturday. I got a little sick, so I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. But I feel better today. As long as I'm good for the radio show, that's what counts.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And our thanks to Connor McKenna and the Delmar post-game crew for hopping off a half an hour early. We didn't expect this time. And frankly, if we were watching Monday Night Football, we wouldn't be getting this time. We'd be on very late tonight. There's a minute left in the third quarter. San Fran up 13-3 on Pittsburgh.
Yay.
Another barn burner for Monday night.
What is this, the third classic in a row?
I think so. Now, yeah. I guess at least the teams are marquee. Both teams are heading to the playoffs this
That's
time.
Right. That's right, they are. So.
It's not Saints-Rams.
No.
The most Sorry, the most exciting football I've seen all day today has been in the new Batman trailer, if you guys have seen it.
What?
Yes, I saw that.
I have not seen that.
Hines Ward is trotting down, Pittsburgh Field, and... Basically, the new villain Batman blows up the stadium. Very exciting.
So Ward makes the reception, and as he runs, you know, from the 40, the 35, the 30, the whole field is collapsing behind him. And then he turns around in the end zone, and it's just this giant crater behind him. I guess that's Heinz Field, eh?
Yeah, I think so. They filmed it in Pittsburgh, so yeah.
There you go.
They blew up Heinz Field.
CGI blew up.
In the Batman continuum, Heinz Field exists. That's amazing. Gotham City plays the Pittsburgh Steelers on numerous occasions.
Yeah, well, let's see till they get the Pirates in. We'll see if it's really Gotham.
Yeah, okay.
We got a big show tonight on the Kaufman Show. A couple of huge guests, actually. We'll be speaking with Marcel Dion, NHL Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Actually, not going to lie. I already recorded both of these interviews this afternoon.
Oh, Dave, so, no lie.
No, 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 no lie. No lie. Because, okay. You know, if it gets time sensitive and stuff, you know, at one point in the interview, Dion holds up a timestamp newspaper. So,
a timestamp newspaper.
I'm trying to think of a way to make it sound. Marcel Dion is on. He'll be talking about headshots and concussions. That'll be just after midnight, probably about 12:10. And then 12:30, one of my absolute favorite comedians, Dimitri Martin, who is at Place des Arts January 12th. Go to hahaha.com. Théâtre Maisonneuve at Place des Arts. Dimitri Martin, a very, very funny dude. Kind of a renaissance man. I used that when I was speaking with him. I think it's a very apt way to describe him because he's not just a comedian, not just a writer. He's really all over the place. He was even in Contagion, that movie that came out
wow.
a couple of months ago. Yeah, had a not-so-huge role in Contagion. Had a big role in Ang Lee's, what was it called, Finding Woodstock.
I haven't seen that.
Good movie.
I like Ang Lee's work. I'm a big fan of
yeah?
his. Yeah?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go. They
I might check it out.
They picked him out for this movie because the scriptwriter's daughter was a big fan of his stuff and kept showing the dad on his YouTube videos.
Okay.
And they decided that he would be perfect in his acting debut to carry this movie, which Liev Schreiber was in it. There was a bunch of really good actors in that movie. I think Eugene Levy was in it.
So it's a Canadian film.
No, it wasn't. Nope. Well, Ang Lee is
Chinese.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or Thai or something like that.
I think he's Chinese.
And do you think he's Chinese? Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's Chinese.
Okay. Well, then he's Chinese.
Okay.
And
if he's not, well, he is now.
Okay. Well, okay. We have anointed Ang Lee.
Maybe you should coach the Habs. Everybody says, I don't care if he speaks Chinese.
Good evening, Jimmy.
Good evening, gentlemen. Ang Lee is from Pingtung, Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Pingtung,
so
Taiwan.
According to the Chinese, he's
pre-1946 borders.
According to the Chinese, he is Chinese.
That's right. See, I told you. I was very confident in my answer.
You know, there was a hockey game tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you guys all cried out from talking to Connor. Our lines are always open to you, 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546 if you're calling from out of town. Maybe some Habs want to call in.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do
listening
right now.
Listening on their apps.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they say, you know what, let's call Kaufman Show. We're in the mood.
Let's go to Carrie on line one.
Yeah. Hey, guys. We suck tonight.
Hey, he didn't.
No, he didn't. He never
stood
does.
He stood on his bloody
head. He never
head
does.
Time.
It's a miracle we have any kind of wins.
It's 23 home games, counting the five exhibition. Five home wins.
That's got to be a low.
Yeah, it's a league low. I don't know about everybody else in the exhibition season, but
you'd think, huh? With the
five wins in 23 games, no wonder nobody wants to go with me. No wonder, literally, I sat there by myself on Tuesday night.
It's like you're Contagion.
It's ironic that the city with the greatest fans in the world, their team has the least home game wins. It's not very becoming.
Rejoice, Habs fans! The new year is almost upon us. Let's go to the phones. We got George in NDG. Good evening, George. George, good evening, sir.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
You turn down your radio, George?
Yeah, just a minute. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
That's okay. We'll fill the time for you by talking about sports.
Is that Hal on line one?
Okay, radio's down.
All right. What's going on, George?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure this all out. I find that the team sucks. But I would also like to hear more critical radio talk, you know?
Oh, would you?
Yes, I find this whole controversy about the French or English coach.
Oh, we'll be dealing with that tonight. Don't you worry.
But I'd like to hear English media bring some constructive criticism towards the team and, like, give us a way forward in terms of how they could be better.
And you don't feel that you're getting that from the Tony Marineros of the world and the Connor
Melnick.
McKenna's and the Mitch Melnicks.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm a team. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
ESPN 990
we make the same mistake all the time, George. It's all good.
Okay. okay. I mean, I love, I mean, most of the talk show hosts, like Marinaro, Melnick, Price and Star in the Morning, and I'm not trying to single anybody out. I just find that some of the commentary is just very complacent, and it's parallel to the team's play.
Well, George, the floor is yours, my friend. Please elevate the discourse and tell the city what can be done.
All right. I mean, this isn't very original, but I think it's time to make a big trade.
All right. Who do you want to trade and who do you want to get in return?
I want to trade Camilleri.
Uh-huh.
Not because he's a bad guy. I love his playoff performances.
No, it's a business, George. We don't trade people because they're bad or good. We trade them because it's a business. Now, who do you expect to get in return for Mike Camilleri right now, who's sitting on 6 goals, is it?
Yes, I believe he has 6 goals.
Okay, and has been sitting on 6 goals for how long?
For about 3 years.
All right. George, who do you want in return for Mike Camilleri?
Who do I want in return for Mike Camilleri?
Yeah.
Good question.
All right, so you want a big trade. You want the Habs to mix things up. I'll tell you something right now, George, and I thank you for the call. If anybody on this station, and you should see Mark Griffin's face right now, but I wish this was TV. If anybody on the station just throws out a name and throws out a trade, that's called irresponsible journalism. If you want to talk about somebody's complacency, call that person. If you tell me that I'm being complacent, I'll tell you right now that there's Montreal Canadiens coverage 22 hours a day on this station. I'm more than happy to talk Habs with the rest of you. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a fan. I watch the games from a fan's point of view. I've been a fan since I was a little kid and grew up across the street from Ray Getliff, the guy that nicknamed the Rocket, because in practice the Rocket ran him over. And he went over to the reporter from the Gazette and said his eyes lit up like a rocket when he ran through me. You want complacency? I'm not going to tell you who they should trade. I can criticize, and I can hopefully constructively criticize at certain points. But to just throw out names, oh, yeah, we should totally trade Scott Gomez. And, oh, yeah, you know, maybe we should get, like, Malkin in return. Wouldn't that be just awesome? No, come on, man. Come on, you're better than that.
Well, define complacency. What is complacency? You sit here and say how good the team is?
I think he's
That's
implying,
not complacency.
I think
That's
he's
lying.
Implying that because the Canadians are now affiliated with this radio station,
I see.
That people are going easier on him. But the only thing I can say to you to that is listen, because I don't hear it. If anything, I listen to my radio and I hear people talking about the Habs on this station and I think, wow, this city's come a long way from when Terry Haig wasn't allowed to say things about the Expos.
That's right.
I remember they wanted to get rid of Terry Haig from what was my favorite show at the time growing up, Play at the Plate. I loved Play at the Plate. I used to stay up late for Play at the Plate. Larry Walker used to come on with them. This is back in the day. This is CIQC 600.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he rightfully so complained about whatever was being bungled by Expos management at the time. And they said, hey, you watch it or Haig's not going to be on anymore. I thought those days were over. And I'm pretty sure that if you were to turn on TSN 990, you would hear people really wondering what's going on down at the Bell Center.
I'm amazed Tony Marinaro gets away with the things that he does say. We are not under any kind of restrictions here. I mean,
well, if we are or if we're not, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and just complain about anything for the sake of it.
That's right. To go beyond the facts would perpetuate rumor and innuendo, and you we're know, not going to do that.
And when was it Brian called in before, and I had just come off saying that the Habs have won 5 out of 23 home games, counting the exhibition season. Is that me putting a happy face on it? Saying that, literally, dude, I went to the game last Tuesday night by myself. Sat with an empty seat beside me. Because that's the level of passion from the fans right now. That the Habs are so gosh darn awful that I can't get off my ass on a Tuesday to come. Well, you know what? Come on.
Kaufman.
Let's go to the phones.
Kaufman, attaboy.
Dominic in St. Hubert. What's going on, Dominic?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
All right, listen, I got to congratulate you on your show. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
And the caller before this one was talking about a trade. I got a trade for you.
All right.
When, let's say, Camilleri or I don't know if they want to take Gomez, but if not, Gionta and maybe defenseman and get Eric Staal from Carolina to go with Cole.
To go with his concussion? Oh, no, sorry. No, it was the other Staal that he knocked the other Staal, and he's been in a funk
Staal.
Ever since he knocked
Mark
Staal.
That was
Mark
Staal, his brother.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think – I don't see it happening. I don't see how productive it is. Thank you for the call, Dominic. I don't see how it's productive to just start bandying about names. Like, yeah, let's trade the captain.
It takes a lot more than that to get a trade going, especially Carolina. That's their franchise player. He's not going anywhere.
We've got a big Kaufman show tonight, and we're happy to take your calls all night long. We'll be speaking with Marcel Dion about headshots, concussions, Bobby Orr. Dimitri Martin's on the show tonight. And all of you, and me, and Jay, and Mark, and Jimmy. And I think I just saw the cleaner walk by.
Kaufman's on fire.
This is the Kaufman Show.
This is how you start it off.
This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Everybody's grinning from ear to ear, as if the Habs had won. Or are we just used to it? Maybe we're like Blue Jays fans. We're thinking ahead.
That's complacency. That's complacency. That's the definition of complacency.
What do you mean?
Well, just accepting a loss like it's an everyday ordeal, you know? It's just like, oh, all right, yeah, well, they lost again. That's good.
Did the Darvish thing go through?
Darvish thing did go through.
Really?
Yu Darvish, the bidding was won by the Texas Rangers.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Just when I was feeling okay about paying my cell phone bill. Hey, man, if that money was going to go to Rogers to help pay for Yu Darvish to change the landscape of Canadian baseball, then I would have been okay with it. But, no. Let's go back to the phones. We got Chevy in Montreal. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Again, I have only called once before.
Yes, we remember. You have one of those names that makes us go, hey, it's Chevy again.
Yes, so the reason that I'm mentioning this is because, again, now I got Kaufman. And I got the Kaufman Show, because last time I asked what show I was calling. And I'm just going to quickly say that earlier this evening, I was mentioning Andy Kaufman because I was talking about the movie Funny People with Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen. And I told a person I kind of turned it off when, even though it wasn't alluding to Man on the Moon, when it got to the Andy Kaufman kind of morose part of the movie where he's talking about death in a joking manner, singing at an improv in front of a piano. So Andy Kaufman came up tonight, and so I'm calling the Kaufman Show, and I'm getting better because it's going to stick with me the more I listen. So.
Well, good. We appreciate that.
Cool. And now that I took up, and I appreciate you guys being there also, by the way. Now that I took up most of the time of saying stuff that I really is not very sports-like, I'll be very brief on this point. I won't talk about trades because, like you said, there's really no point in really pointing the fingers. Who are you going to trade for who and for what? But I want to ask you this. Professional sports, particularly in the NHL, pretty much they're all at the same caliber. Okay, you've got A lines, B lines, C lines, and D lines, but they're all the best in the world. So what I don't understand is, why is it that Montreal has not won a cup since 1993 when they have the same pool pretty much as any other team on any given night in the NHL? And that is my question again then, second part would be, is it then the players that are not motivating themselves to play at the level once they made the cut in the NHL, they're just not able to sustain that effort. And also, quickly, my last point being, do you think that there's a lack of respect for one another, particularly with the hits and stuff that are going on? So now it just seems to be blowing up in their faces. That's what I wanted to mention.
Thanks for the call, Chevy. Well, first of all, on the hits, I think it's a whole compilation of things, and I hope you stay tuned for the interview with Marcel Dion, because that's what we talk about. Players are bigger, the equipment is fiercer, and because the players are bigger, the rink seems smaller, and I think it's just a compilation of those three things. As far as the Habs not having won a cup since 93 and all teams being with relative parity, if you will, no, I don't buy that. I don't think it's as simple as on any given year. You know, it's not some lottery. And if you watch the 24/7 series, you can really see how much preparation and how intense it is. And, you know, maybe one does stack the deck a little bit if they make prerequisites like the coach needs to speak Swahili.
Oh, it's Swahili now.
Well, whatever it is, okay. It doesn't matter. But, no, because if you're looking for the best guy, then there's this whole pool of guys that are the best guy. And then if you're looking for the best guy that also can juggle, obviously the pool is going to be a lot smaller.
Well, how many teams have won the Stanley Cup since 1993? 11? 10? Something like that? You know, if you count ones who have won numerous Stanley Cups. There are 30 teams in the league, you know, all fighting for the same prize. 93, I mean, I'm going to sound complacent here,
uh-huh.
as compared to other franchises, is not too bad. I mean, during the late 90s and early 2000s, the Montreal Canadiens were horrible. The aftermath of the Patrick Roy trade, they were terrible. They had some kind of rebuilding, and they reimposed some kind of structure in the mid-90s. But it's been a tough run, and whether we can blame that they're hiring French-only coaches or just bad draft picks.
I just think it's this ridiculous notion of what kind of stress does that add to the situation? Think about the stress of trying to win a Stanley Cup.
Right. Not the easiest thing in the world to
now
do.
Now let's make it political.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. What was the... I know there was an uproar, but it stopped as soon as the tournament started when, what was his name, Eriksson, the Swede, was the head coach of the English national soccer team.
Right.
This happens. This happens all the time. As Eric Engels tweeted the other day, talk about a shame, Jean Perrin was the head coach of the Israeli junior national team. Didn't speak a word of Hebrew.
The Greek national team won the Euro Cup. Their coach was German. Do you know what the Germans were doing in Greece during World War II? Nobody cared. You know why? Because they won the Euro Cup. The guy didn't speak Greek, that's for sure.
Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-0990. C'est mon ami Louis. Bonsoir, Louis.
Bonsoir, Dave. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien, et vous?
Not too bad, not too bad. Jay, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Louis?
Not too bad, not too bad. Yeah, I think you're going to be off for the next 2 weeks, guys?
No, we are here.
No, we don't do that.
We are here, Louis, bringing
22nd, okay.
Bringing you the good stuff. We will be here, we promise. And you know, Louis, you got to stay tuned, because in about 10 minutes, we're going to be airing an interview with Marcel Dion.
Boy, what a great memories. Marcel Dion and Guy Lafleur. Oh, does Montreal need a Marcel Dion?
Oh, my. Or a Guy Lafleur.
I wouldn't turn him away.
Well, yeah, before I want to talk about the hockey guys, I know Dave, Big Egg baseball expert. What's happening in Prince Fielder sweepstakes, guy?
Well,
how come nobody hires it?
I'll tell you right now that the Toronto Blue Jays have the money because they're not spending it on Yu Darvish. They lost the sweepstakes with the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
So, wow, wouldn't that be cool if Prince Fielder was hitting home runs? And already, it's well worth investing in going down to the Rogers Center next year because... going to get to see Albert Pujols swing a baseball bat.
Yeah, you're right about that. But do you think the Blue Jays, they have to do something with their $17 billion, the Rogers communication? Because the Blue Jays so far, okay, maybe you're the Santos reliever, but if they don't hire a big name, well, they're far away from the World Series also.
Well, they're
not bad, but...
No, they're not bad, but they're still far away, and I think they acknowledge that they're still far away.
Pitching-wise, Dave, besides the left-hander, they have no chance. You know what? I would bet $100 with you. They have no chance. You know what? I hope that they do something with their money they have. Well, in baseball, it's tough. Like Jay was saying, in professional sports, there's 30 teams in every league. It's tough to win championships. About the Montreal Canadiens, oh boy.
Yes, quickly, Louis, because we got to go to news.
Oh boy, 5 wins and 13 losses. And you know what? I think we're not going to make the playoff. I want to be positive. But I think the rest of this season, we're going to try to play for 500 and wait till next season. I don't know what's going to happen. Randy Connor is going to do his best. He won't be there next season, the way Mr. Molson was speaking. So I hope we're going to get some win at the Bell Center in 2012. And Merry Christmas to you, Dave. And
thank you, Louis, and to you. And
I'm going
to give
you, thanks, Louis.
Louis, I'm going to give you 20 secondes. Tes impressions de Monsieur Cunningworth en français, s'il vous plaît.
Faut donner la chance à Randy Cunningworth. Il a l'expérience. Il était dans le avec Rochester. Faut donner de la chance. S'il va, if he goes to, if he wins three rounds in the playoff, keep him. Donnez-lui la chance. Il a une chance. C'est un gars d'expérience. C'est un ancien joueur. Why not? Give him a chance.
And you know what, Louis? He'll and the booze. Doesn't matter what language he'll speak.
No, me too. I love everybody. English, Greek, you know, Italian. I love everybody.
Yeah, Greek.
Take care.
Merci, Louis. Joyeux Noël.
Merci, Louis.
Merci, Louis.
This is the Kaufman Show. Let's go out on this jam. $5 to anybody who tells me he's playing harmonica here. This is the Kaufman Show.
Neil Young.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show.
This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And like it take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
So yeah, we're back. That Neil Young, he just does everything, doesn't he?
He's a utility player.
Sounding a little desperate there, isn't he? Is that what it's coming to, Neil?
It's a sad lament.
Yeah.
And a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood.
We've got Marcel Dion up on the Kaufman Show in about 5-7 minutes' time. Very excited for that. Trust me, it's good. I already heard it.
Legend. Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great hockey player.
And funny little story about me getting the interview. I got a hold of his number and gave him a shout and asked him if he'd come on TSN 990 radio and said that the show's late, but we can pre-tape. And he said, "Are you famous?"
And you said, "Yes."
I said, "Give me a few months. Let me do this interview." So, yeah, I'm super excited to have Marcel Dion on the show. I was so afraid the entire interview that I was going to call him Gilbert.
You were going to call him Gilbert.
Gilbert Dion.
Yeah, I know. I know who Gilbert Dion. Not many people do, but I do.
Well, for this kid over here, it always feels a little like 93.
Mm-hmm.
So Gilbert Dion tapping his chest.
After he scored the goal against
Buffalo.
It was me. It's the only one I'll ever score ever.
Four games in that Buffalo series, and the Habs won every game 4-3.
That's right. Poor Grant Fuhr. I felt bad for Grant Fuhr that
year. Was it Grant Fuhr that
year?
It was
Grant Fuhr in nets for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, it wasn't Darren Puppa?
No, it wasn't. No, Grant Fuhr, they gave it all to Grant Fuhr that year. Poor guy.
So, yeah, I have not gone back and listened all the way through the interview, but if I call him Gilbert, we'll edit it out for the podcast.
I'm sure he would have called you. Pretty sure he would have called you on that.
We do have a podcast, unlike all the other shows at the station.
Oh, we're the only one.
Ours is no. There's a few others that don't. But what I was going to say, I took a dramatic pause and you jumped in. But unlike all the other shows at this station, dramatic pause. Ours is fairly easy and navigable. You can actually listen. You don't have to listen all the way through. KaufmanShow.podbean.com. We have the first half of last week's show, which was a very good first half of last week's show, if I do say so myself. And we will have, I'm hoping for tomorrow, the entire show from tonight on, including our interviews. I think we know how to do this a lot quicker, Mark. I think we can streamline this and get it done ASAP.
Yeah.
We know a lot of people listen, and a lot of people can't listen because of the hour. So we're going to do what we can to make it easy.
Accommodate.
We are very, it's a very accommodating society. We are very reasonable here. Jimmy, let's take one call before we do the break in the Dion interview. Because, hey, we like it when the phones ring, and try not to keep you all waiting too long. Who we got, Jimmy? Who do we got? We got Peter downtown. Bring it to me, Peter. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Peter.
I'm a first-time caller on your show, but I have to say one thing right off the bat.
Go ahead.
You are extremely good at what it is that you do.
Wow.
You articulate really well. The whole crew is tremendous. Hopefully, what I'll do tomorrow is I'm going to call the manager, and I'm going to basically just ask them to give you more time and better spots, because you guys are going to go far in this industry.
Peter, will you also call my parents and my girlfriend?
No. but I'll be honest with you. You guys articulate really well. You give the callers a lot of time to speak, and the only station that does that I can listen to freely is the Fan 660 out of New York, and we can catch that station quite clearly after 6-7 p.m. And, you know, whether you have Summers on or whoever it is, they're tremendous. And you guys have that same ability and that same talent. The last time I heard anything close to what I'm hearing tonight was from Mitch Garber and Cohen.
Wow.
And I got to be honest with you, they weren't people in the sports industry, but they were extremely talented, and I'd love to listen to them. And you guys are fantastic. It's the first time I can honestly say you guys are going to go extremely far. It's just a treat to know late at night we have talent on the radio.
Well, Peter, we will be here every Monday night. Thank you so
much.
No,
I just want one comment.
Oh, no, you say whatever you want.
Dude, you just go ahead and say whatever you want right now.
You guys are talented. It doesn't have to come from me. You are going to go far, and in 5 years' time, you'll probably say, hey, that man knew what he was talking about. You guys are very talented. I don't have to say it. The one thing I have to say is I do agree with you what you said tonight in regards to the language issue and about our coach. The only thing I have to add is sometimes people in society who have a voice, who hold high places, you know, you have Francois Gagnon going on the CBC on Saturday, and instead of just giving Cunnyworth a vote of confidence out of Montreal, the only thing he had to say was, it's unacceptable, we need a French-speaking coach.
Mm-hmm.
And from the perspective, you know, and of course, Toronto basically, the panel said, well, yeah, they need a French coach in Montreal. And the truth of the matter is, yeah, sure, I'm an Anglophone. My background is Greek. You know what? I'm a season ticket holder. I want a winner. You know, the truth of the matter is, my money is just as good as the other person's money is. And having spoken to thousands of fans in the city, whether it's the hockey rink or whether it's the football field at Molson Stadium at McGill, you know, whether you're Francophone or Anglophone, people want an exciting product and they want a winner.
Oh, yeah.
We can all agree with that, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The truth of the matter is, it's just because people in high places from the Francophone, some Francophones basically say, well, we need a French coach. Then you have some low-life politicians who basically say, this is a good opportunity to jump on the bandwagon where we can get some votes out of this and say, yeah, it's unacceptable. We need a French-speaking. And people start believing this.
Oh, yeah, because it totally makes sense for politicians to be butting in to the Habs, right? I mean,
this is sports. This is what we do for leisure. This has nothing to do in regards to giving us any gain, whether, you know, it's just for fun. You know, I'm Greek, and I got to be honest with you. Ray Hagel, like you said before, was the coach who brought a mediocre team who struggled to qualify for major tournaments, and they made them champions, and he brought them to a top 10 ranking. Of course, he was old, and he retired. He was actually retired, dismissed, whatever you want to call it. He was there for a lengthy period of time. The next coach in succession is Santos, who doesn't speak any Greek either, who basically, in 2 years' time, hasn't lost the game. In fact, the first game they lost was last month, and it was an exhibition game to Romania. They hadn't lost the game in 2 years with a coach who speaks no Greek. And what does the Greek media do there? Do they complain? No. They need to ask a question to the coach. They have an interpreter. That's all fine, and that's a large media in Greece who covers the sports team, the soccer team.
Peter, it's an interesting situation. It is not a word that I bandy about a lot, but it is a situation that is unique to our city and to our situation. And I'll tell you, I get, and thank you for the call, and thank you for those wonderfully kind words. Do call whoever you want to call.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But I will touch on this very quickly, Peter, and we will talk about it later tonight, I promise you. Randy Cunningworth just got caught up in the middle of a storm.
I know.
Just it's an incredibly so huge storm, and I want to put a word in front of storm, but I'm not going to because, you know, Mom might be listening. And it's so frustrating to know that whoever deals with the day-to-day for the Canadians, whoever skates on the ice and wears the jersey, has to deal with this BS. It's so frustrating. I wouldn't care. You know what? Honestly, we had a coach who won our last Stanley Cup who couldn't read, but he could speak English and French.
So very
that,
well.
So that was okay.
Yeah. I have a different take on this. I know we don't have time for
no,
it.
No,
right
we're going to get back to it afterwards because obviously it's something to talk about. And I get that this is not my turf. I live in this city. I'm an Anglophone. I'm born and raised Montrealer, but you hear me speak French, you know it's very, very anglicized. I can understand a French journalist going to the hospital and needing to speak to a doctor in French. I don't understand a French journalist going to the Bell Center and not being able to speak to the coach in his language. My God. What backwards ridiculousness is this? The journalists are not supposed to be the story. François Gagnon should not be the story. Randy Cunningworth should be the story. And in a city as sexually liberated as Montreal, French, English, Greek, like Peter said, in a city this sexually liberated, a name like Randy Cunningworth should get all the respect in the world. This is The Kaufman Show.
Church of the Sacred Bleeding Heart of Jesus, located somewhere in Los Angeles.
We're going to take a quick break, Jimmy, and we will be back with Marcel Dion on The Kaufman Show. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Our next guest, one of only six men to score 700 goals, fourth all-time on the scoring list. Welcome to The Kaufman Show, Marcel Dion.
Thank you very much.
How are you, sir?
Excellent, excellent. On our way to Christmas without no snow, so I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a light dusting of it here, and fingers are crossed. It just doesn't feel right in Canada right now, does it?
That's amazing. That's no pond hockey right now. I live near a park, and they just watered it down last week, and right now it's just on the edge. Not that good.
Well, I guess the one thing that we're not seeing then this winter so far are injuries on the hockey rinks outdoors. And I know that one thing that you've been very passionate about lately is the concussion issue and the headshots in the National Hockey League.
Well, it's something that it's absolutely amazing that the sport is dealing with this type of injury right now. My frustration is, and I'm sure for the players and managers and the people that are close to the game, this type of injury, you just don't know how long a player is going to be out. You can hurt a knee, you can hurt an ankle, you can separate the shoulder. You always have a time frame. It could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, unless you have surgery. But at least you have an idea when you're going to come back. And I think it took probably Crosby in order to realize how bad this thing is. And I'm sure Mark Savard and Patty LaFontaine and players that we've seen prior to this or Primo and Eric Lindros, but now it is absolutely in the forefront. And I feel really, really bad for the their family members, their friends, because it is a serious, serious injury.
Now, you mentioned Primo, you mentioned Lindros. I think back to Paul Kariya, you mentioned Pat LaFontaine. I can think of Mike Richter retiring because of concussion issues. This isn't a new thing, is it, Marcel?
You know, I tried to look back. Maybe I had a few concussions and I'm not aware. And it's you got to laugh a little bit at it because I don't remember seeing anybody in a serious, as all the players I ever played with, that left the ice and was really hurt physically by a headshot or something happens that right after the game, the diagnosis is that he's got a concussion. This is, you know, I don't know if I'm the only one, or, but it was not frequent. It seems like it's happening now. I don't know if it's a buildup of players playing over the years from minor hockey and turning pro, but I watch too. I watch. I'm a fan, and I just don't like what I see. I mean, there's some serious, serious hit, and you know, the downside of it, it's looking at Crosby coming back, and now he did it himself. He went for a hit, and for some reason, his head connected with the elbow of I think Krejci from Boston.
Yeah.
And I'm going, are you kidding me? If it's this not as a setback, I mean, I don't think none of us were prepared for this. And if it's Crosby happening to Crosby or happening to Wayne Gretzky or Lafleur or Bobby Orr, everybody's paying attention right now. It's unbelievable.
I know that it'll never happen because you're too outspoken, but let's pretend for a second that you sat in Gary Bettman's chair. What would you do to fix this problem?
Well, they got some pretty smart people. And but the thing is, I truly believe after the lockout, they were concerned about the clutch and grab, and it was obvious, the goal scoring. And they wanted to make the game more spectacular, faster. Well, they did. They have accomplished that. But I thought the rules were not prepared for these type of players. These guys are so much bigger, so much faster. The third and fourth line are absolutely incredible skaters. So when they get on the ice for that 40-second shift, man, they're hitting people. They're moving quick. So in order to do this, well, we have accommodated that speed, but in the same time, we have, you know, what you see now, those type of hits, some of them is just, it's not a shoulder hit. It's a body. It's a slam. It's like watching football. The guys are a couple feet away from the boards, and boom, they go with unbelievable force, and then they're hurt. And some of those hits, too, defensemen are, they just want to take the body, but they don't realize the player's a couple feet away, and then suddenly he's helpless and goes hard. So, there's a lot of things to me, like the red line and the counter there has really made that much easier for the player to get a lot of speed. And it's I truly believe as a goal scorer myself that it's one thing. And I guarantee you they're looking into it now. They've got to slow down that play because the guys are coming in hard. They're coming in too hard.
We're in conversation with Hall of Famer Marcel Dion on the Kauffman Show. Marcel, what do you think about the equipment that's used today versus when you were playing? And do you think that that's a factor?
Again, that's another thing, too, with the suppliers. Things have gone so fast. They want to add more and more protection, but at the same time, some of that protection has become a weapon. I mean, I've got hit a couple times in the old-timers game with an elbow, and let me tell you, if it clocks you right, you're out just on the kisser, and it's you feel it. I played in a time where the Montreal Canadiens, believe it or not, Lafleur never wore, he just wore caps. It's very famous. Yvon Cournoy, they didn't have the protection in front of their chest. Is this hard to believe or what? But the hits were different. You had to worry about a cross check or something. But now it's, like I said, the hits are, it's a full body extension instead of shoulder check. And it does affect. It's protecting. The reason is to protect the players. It's light, and we all want to have this. But at the same time, the certain hits, it just happened that you connect on this. It's not like that soft leather that we had before. And mind you, when we had that soft leather, do you know how many guys had bad elbows over the years? I've seen guys with surgery because the elbows were, you know, the elbow pad would move, and you fell on the ice. So players don't have to face this today, but it's. I'm sure they're all looking at this. You know what? They're thinking. They're frustrated, and it's. Like I said, the game is so fast, and they're talking about the ice surface. And there's no doubt. I played enough game and world championships that it would make a difference. There is no doubt it would make a difference. 2 feet. It's incredible for a player to have that room. But how are they going to implement this in those buildings? It's impossible. How much money you would have to pay to try to do this again. So this, I guess you and I are going to have to be talking about this for the next couple of years.
I guess so, because I don't see the owners ripping out the first two rows of seating. I think the money that they lose would be, I don't know if they could allow it.
Yeah, well, Calgary had had the setup for that. And there's another thing, too. In those buildings, when you play in the World Championships overseas, the fans, yeah, you think they're far now from the ice. They're further away from the ice. And it is something, you know. It just I am frustrated. I don't want to see any type of players ending a career. I was fortunate, 18 years. I'm healthy, just like anybody else. Some arthritis and a couple things, but not even close to what some of those young players and guys that have retired because of that are going through. You have a life, and that's my concern. And I feel really, really bad for these players. Everybody wants to play out there. Nobody wants to go out and intentionally hurt somebody, but we all get hurt. Sooner or later, it doesn't matter what, you go down for the count. But I would rather go for the count for the right reasons, not the way it's happening right now.
We're wrapping up with Marcel Dion on the Kaufman Show. Marcel, last question for you. If you had Sidney Crosby's ear, would you tell him to come back?
Well, he has to know right now it was something totally different. I listened to what he said, that he addressed it, that there was something there. But Sidney, there's one thing. His style is a very, very aggressive style. He's one of the only player that I've seen in a long time and generations that's so strong on the puck. This guy wants the puck. He's absolutely phenomenal. So guess what? He goes to certain places that it's risky, and he doesn't mind. That's why he came back, and he didn't mind to stick it to anybody. He did it to Foligno. He'll challenge people, and that's the thing. Are you going to ask him, says, you got to change his style? He's going to look at you, what style? That's the way I play. So I hope, you know, the organization knows that, again, it's he has to look at other players around the league and figure out himself that, say, listen, is this the way it's going to be? He's going to give it a chance. If he comes back again, I think he's going to look at himself and for the rest of his life. You know, that's it's very unfortunate, but it does happen. You got to remember this young Bobby Orr. Bobby only played 8-9 years with those bad knees. You know, everybody forgets that. It was a knee thing then. Today, you don't hear about too often about bad knees because there's better surgery. There's doctors are right there. There's better conditioning, rehab. So now the head, there's not much too much rehab about that, and that's what it is scary. It's time, and you know, it's very depressing. Honest to God, it's something new. But it's not only us. You got to remember this. Football is addressing that too, and it's another issue for them.
Well, Marcel Dion, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, way too much conversation about knees is going on our radio station right now just because of Andre Markov being out for as long as he's been out. But
that's amazing. I know. I feel bad, too, just when you look at the injuries. But anyway, let's hope everybody has a happy holidays, and we look forward to the first of the year, and some of these guys are coming back, and they come back stronger, and then you and I, like down the road, we'll talk about better things.
Enjoy your time at the Christmas party tonight, and happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcel. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Proud player of Rolling Stones B-sides. like this gem, Jivin Sister Fanny. If you don't know the guitar solo in this song, it's as if, I guess it's Keith, even though he's rhythm. It just sounds like Keith. But man, does it sound like B.B. King and Lucille. I like being on the radio and playing my music. Man, that's fun. Bring it up, Jimmy. Yeah, all right, all right. I know. It's a sports talk radio station, okay? Jeez. Twist my arm. Make me turn down the Stones on a Monday.
We'll rock it out a little bit.
I do.
Yeah,
I
why
do.
Not?
I do. Trust me. Trust me. With the best of them. you guys enjoy that interview?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, excellent interview. He seems a little bit passionate about this this whole problem of the concussions.
Shocking that
it seems to bother him a little bit.
Shocking that the fourth all-time leading scorer in NHL history is passionate about hockey, eh?
Yeah. Well, he seems to be a little bit more invested.
He's scared. He knows that the game is going in a bad direction right now.
Yeah.
There's really little else to say.
It's really, there's nothing else to say about it, and it doesn't seem that there's going to be any kind of solution anytime soon.
No.
So, I mean, you can suspend as many people as you want, but the fact of the matter is, it's exactly what he said. It's a physical issue here, not so much an ethical deal.
Oh, ethics.
Ethics.
We're all about ethics here at TSN 90.
Yes, I'm your keynote speaker on ethics right here. I am the prime example of what every little boy should grow up to be.
Journalistic ethics, as we discuss the French-English divide, the two solitudes that divide and unite us. Cunnyworth. His name is Cunnyworth, people.
Can I?
God, come on.
You can laugh.
I think you all should embrace it.
Cunnyworth.
Randy Cunnyworth. I love it.
Cunnyworth.
It just flows off the tongue.
Cunnyworth.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Say it like the theater guy. Movie trailer.
The movie guy. Phone guy.
A Randy Cunnyworth.
I think that guy died.
Yes, he did die.
Oh, yes. Great.
Yeah. That's just great.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Apologize to his family. In his voice.
I have such a movie show. It's like,
I apologize for his death.
He was a man ahead of his time.
514-790-0990. We're going to take a couple of calls. In the next segment, we will be playing our interview with Dimitri Martin. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear that as well.
What a smart dude.
Well, he's a comedian. They're all smart.
Yeah, who turned down Harvard Law and changed his degree 11 times at Yale.
All right, maybe he's not that smart.
And no, because he follows his passions.
That's
which
great.
Was instilled in me, and I think it's the way to go. Anyways, back to the phones. 514-790-0990. Let's go to Eric.
Good evening. Hey, guys.
Hello,
Hi,
Eric.
How's it going?
Oh, Eric, do you have your seatbelt on?
Yes, I do, man. I have my seatbelt on.
Thanks for calling back. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say, it's funny you mentioned Darren Poopa earlier, because I was born and raised from Kirkland Lake, Ontario, the town where Darren Poopa was born, and we have just gotten the Northern Hockey Hall of Fame heritage, which if you ever have a chance to see, it's a ghost town, but that is really worth the seeing. And I was born in Ontario, and I learned French from when I was a little kid. I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, like, should we erase all the Stanley Cups that were won by Dick Irvin, Toe Blake? I'm not sure if he spoke French, which
yes,
I think
he
might have. I'm not sure.
Who cares if he did or not?
I know. It's like, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, these people here in the French media are the ones that should be fired, because how many coaches have we gotten fired because, oh, this coach didn't do that, or this coach didn't do that, or... You know, it's the pressure that they put on the coaches most of the time that make the general manager fire the coach. And I find it very unfair to some of the coaches out there that are French-speaking. That's my two cents worth. And by the way, go Cowboys. What a week they had, eh? Lost to the Giants and won again Saturday. Division, they're number one in their division. I think they can go a long way.
Do you really? Did you watch the Giants game 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I did. I did, but I think the
not the strongest of divisions.
After the Giants lost to the Redskins, I think the Cowboys are going to come on strong from now to the end.
Who do they beat up? Was it Jacksonville? No, that was Atlanta. Who do they play this weekend?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Okay, really? You can't get all like that off of a win against Tampa.
He's a Giants fan.
I think now that Miles Austin is back with the Cowboys, they have the triple threat with Robinson, Austin, Dez Bryant. I think they have the three best wide receivers in the league right now if they can just stay healthy.
Eric, thank you for the call. Let's hope it doesn't come down to a field goal. Let's go to the next. That's true.
Ouch, Kaufman.
It's true. Let's go to Johnny. Good evening, Johnny.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to talk about all the things that we have heard today about the English side and the French side, of what they have to say about the decision of Pierre Gauthier. Well, I just want to say that I grew up from the French side of Montreal. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, remember Jacques Demers when he said that he couldn't read? I don't remember any English person said that that was a big issue.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew. That only came out.
He admitted and he said it.
That came out 6 years ago.
Nobody said anything about it.
That came out 6 years ago. You know, he won the cup 18 years ago.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to disparage Senator Jacques Demers. I was just trying to prove a point. I think that if that had been known, Johnny, in the media at the time, I don't think that it necessarily would have been published. I think that it's a different, even 1993 to now, geez, when I left journalism school in 2004, there were no classes on online media. So I can imagine that in 1992, things were quite different. And if, you know, player X on the Canadiens was caught in some bar somewhere doing something he shouldn't have been doing, there wasn't the 24-hour news cycle like there is today.
Okay. I was listening to the media all day on the English side and on the French side.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Babcock, everybody said if it would have been him, people would sit down and listen to what he has to say or what he has to bring to the table.
Really? A Stanley Cup winning coach of Team Canada, the gold medal team, they'd actually sit down and give him a shot? No, no, keep it going. Keep it going, Jimmy. I want to hear from
him. I don't understand what they're saying in that point. But on your side, I got to say that these are the people that were like Mike Babcock, that were good coaches, and they were just upcoming, and they were just not speaking French. We could have missed something here too, but I can understand when it's not someone that is well known into the hockey community. I think he's well known because he did some few things in the past, but besides that, people really think that they could get a better coach that speaks French.
Johnny,
I can understand that.
Johnny, I got to tell you, man, thank you for your call. I appreciate the call. When Alain Vigneault was hired, when Michel Therrien was hired, you weren't hearing English media saying, well, this guy's only coached a junior and this guy doesn't have the... It's a non-issue. It's, okay, we've been told this is the new head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, and frankly, we don't have much to do about it. If you told me, before the season started, that Martin was going to implode and lose the confidence of the room, do you want Randy Cunningworth coaching the team? You know what? Randy Cunningworth wasn't even a part of this team this time last year. It's Kirk Muller's replacement, essentially.
Well, he's just proving the point here about limiting your selection. What he's saying is, well, maybe there is an upcoming coach who could be as good as Mike Babcock, but happens to speak French. Once again, you're narrowing the decision down to about two or three guys who are clearly unproven. You know, Dave, I got a different take on this.
Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, if I may, sir.
Please, please. I'm just and in the meantime, if Michel Bergeron can get his CV prepared, we.
You know what? I'd pay good money to see that.
Yeah, you want Le Petit Tigre coaching the Habs?
Yeah, why not? All He's got fire. Anyway, listen. Listen, it's all good for us to say, in all fairness and political correctness, that we don't care if the guy speaks Chinese or Swahili. Those seem to be the most popular ones this week.
Oh, they're very popular languages.
Yeah, totally.
They're like the first and 192nd most popular languages in the world.
Thank you very much for that stat. Okay, so it's good for us to say that, and maybe morally and ethically, that may be the correct thing to say, that everybody should get a fair shot, regardless of what race, creed, or language they speak. It doesn't matter. We, as a society here in Quebec, mm-hmm. are not ready for that. We're not ready for that. We're 16 years removed from a referendum, which one side barely got over the other by one percentage.
Separatism is dead. We saw it in the paper this week.
But listen, Dave.
Down to 30%.
We're talking about hundreds of years of English rule in a part of Canada where the French were relegated to rural areas, where businesses and politics were run by the English until the Quiet Revolution in the mid part of the century.
Sure.
Now, people are not going to get over this real quickly.
No.
We're not ready for that. And we have to understand that there's still a lot of anger involved. There's still a lot of resentment involved.
So you're going to tell me that the Quiet Revolution, which ended at the same time that the Civil Rights Act was enabled in the United States, which is with the mid-60s, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Who's running America right now?
White people.
Quebec's not ready. Yeah, in the White House?
Yeah. Most of Congress is a bunch of old white guys sitting there smoking cigars, drinking brandy, and
all right, so you don't want to
disparaging women and black people.
So you don't want to let me make my point.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I digress. No, I think it's ridiculous to say that Quebec's not ready because the Quiet Revolution was 50 years ago.
Well, Dave, they're clearly not. I mean, people still got a little bit of anger inside
of them. It's sensationalistic journalism. I've seen a few people interviewed here and there that say, no, I think that the coach should be bilingual or primarily French-speaking. But really, you know, you do those man-on-the-street things and you can edit them out however you want. This is sensationalism, people.
Well, Dave, we were at the game together a week and a half ago, and we talked to some Francos.
We were sitting
some Francos
in my seats.
Yeah, a couple of Italian guys sitting behind you.
I'm Quebecois. I can.
I can't. So.
But we had a small conversation with. I mean, it obviously was just a few random people.
No, they weren't random, Mark, because I've been sitting in those seats for 7 years. So everybody that I was having a conversation with in rows A and B in section 301 during the Canucks game are people that I've seen day in, day out. They're probably listening to the show right now. Bonsoir, Marcel.
Hey, salut.
And that's the proof. I've never had a hard time. I am the same as every other Habs fan in that building. And it doesn't matter what language they're speaking. Let's take one more call, Jimmy, and then we'll play our interview. Zach, RDP, what's shaking?
Hi, good evening, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
A couple of points. Obviously, like you said, when the Canadians do win, it does make the city be better. Not being a Canadian fan, I kind of dropped them since 1984, actually, when Guy Lafleur left. Yes, it does make it a short list that if the candidate does only speaks one language. But I think there's also an omen. How come, or maybe you guys could explain to me, that when ex-coaches leave and have more success with other teams, how does that happen, even with players? Think for 5 minutes. Maxime Lapierre could have almost had a Stanley Cup ring last year.
Well, yeah, but the Bruins were a better team, so he didn't. And Zach, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling. Coaches, you know, there's a reason that Michel Therrien was able to go to the Stanley Cup Finals with Pittsburgh and not with Montreal, and it's because he had Pittsburgh. He had Crosby and Malkin and Fleury and the rest, and Hal Gill. And I find it, yeah, you know what? It's pressure here. Did the Montreal Impact go behind my back and fire Jesse March? Because this is a team that's trying to come in, and they built a stadium in the east end of town, and they're trying to cater to the Francophone community, the Allophone community, and, hey, why not to the Anglophone community too? But I don't see it as much as I've seen a constant French press, if you will, full-court French press from the Impact. Jesse March, anybody know what he came from before he started coaching the Impact?
No.
He was the assistant coach of the United States soccer team at the World Cup this summer. He's American. Does he speak French?
Nobody cared that Philippe Alou didn't speak French.
But you know what? Claude Raymond was always around.
That's what I'm saying, though. The Montreal Canadiens are part of the culture. It's not just a team. This is a part of Quebec. This is bred into people. This is what they grew up with. This has been embedded into their blood.
There's a reason that none of these Francophone players want to come play here. That none of the superstars want to come play here. There's a reason, and it's if you think it's just the taxes and just the weather, you're out of your mind.
No, it's constant scrutiny. That's what it is.
I mean, it's
the pedestal.
imagine if Saku Koivu was French. Okay, they go into Saku Koivu's room at the hospital after he got a stick in the eye. Darkened room. Has to stay dark, the room. Come on in, flash a photo. Let's take a picture of the captain in his hospital bed. That's why people don't come here. And if you're French-Canadian and you want to coach the Montreal Canadiens, you're under 1,000 times the magnoscope than you are in Atlanta or Philly or Phoenix or Detroit or New York. Come on, John Tortorella walks out onto 34th Street and nobody bugs him.
Buys a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yells at a cab driver.
Right, and that's the thing. He could assault the damn cab driver.
He probably has.
And nobody would do anything.
No.
Jimmy, what do you want to do here? Are we going to play the interview in the next hour? Because we ran out of time. Let's keep rolling on the phones here. We got Steve in Westmount. Good evening, Steve.
How you guys doing?
We're great. We can't believe how many people are calling in tonight. We really appreciate all the calls.
Well, I'm always staying up late, but I wanted to give you guys a call. I usually call on the Melnick show a lot, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the game. More importantly, I wanted to talk about one player in particular who I think is, he's become a symbol of this season, and that's number 13. Like to me, all the troubles we're having, all the slump that we're in, the way the team's playing, it's all like personified through Mike Camilleri's play. Like I don't know if you guys agree, just because we paid $6 million for the guy that sits on top of those hash marks and snipes them in. Like, when's the last time you saw him snipe a shot anywhere?
Well, it's been a little while. There've been some posts in there, and Steve, you know, you can use all the parlances of the sound bites that they use. Oh, he's grabbing the stick too tight. And, he's just going to keep firing pucks at the net. And I know there's a clip in here about Camilleri because I played it when I was doing the news last week about how he's not scoring goals. He's just, well, I'm going to have to go out there and score then. And it's that back of the bus on Bull Durham when Crash is teaching Nuke all the different things to say to the press when he makes it to the bigs. It's that garbage, Steve. And, you know, do we want to think of Camilleri right now, who's part of a... It's not just Camilleri. There's a big problem going on with the Montreal Canadiens right now. It's not just Mike Camilleri. He's a huge part of it, but it's not just him. Now, do you think he's given up? I doubt it, because I look at the intensity of this guy in the playoffs 2 years ago, or even last year, and it just makes me think that there's no way this guy would at any point crap the bed. I just don't see it. He's not that type of player.
He seems like a guy that sooner or later is going to come out, and he's going to say, he's not going to come out and say it, but like he seems like a guy that has just realized that he wants to play with better players. I feel like he wants to play with he's just been given too much responsibility in Montreal. All he's good for is scoring goals.
Yeah, and you know what else? I don't think he speaks French.
Dave.
No, I'm being ridiculous. Come on, Jay. You think I actually care if Mike Camilleri speaks French or not, if any of them speak
Camilleri
French?
Camilleri seems a little tentative this year.
Thank you for the call, Steve.
Yeah, he seems to not be taking hits. He's not going into the corners too much.
There's a lack of intensity, though, across the board.
There's a lack of intensity, right.
It's not just him. And there's a lack of intensity. I talked about it last week with you. Mark and I were at the Bell Center last week for the Canucks game. Habs have a 3-0 lead, and the crowd gives up. You know, there's nothing fun going on right now to do with the Montreal Canadiens. And really, from the start of the season, I was like, okay, well, you know, they're going to have to really turn it on soon to make the playoffs, and then it's going to have to really feel like the playoffs early,
now,
guys.
Now people are already saying that the season's a wash.
Yeah, Connor McKenna tonight on the postgame show saying that pretty soon he's going to start looking ahead to next year.
Right. People are already saying, let's bottom out and get the draft picks.
Yeah, but the thing is, what's the second overall pick this year going to do to help the franchise?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Leslie in Laval. Good evening, Leslie.
How are you guys doing? Good show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I can't believe I'm commenting on this stuff because I'm sick and tired of hearing about the French issue that you guys are talking about. But
You're listening, too. Wow.
I work with a lot of French people. I have a lot of French friends, and all of them are not of the same opinions. I think that it's mostly the press that's making this into a big issue, and it's getting away from the real issues of the team. And I think that there's more newsworthy things that the French papers and French stations should be going at. I think that it's really, like, way out of control. I don't care what language the coach speaks, and my friends who are French think that the whole thing is ridiculous. It's kind of making them look bad. They're kind of embarrassed even to discuss the issue amongst us because right away, like, it's perceived as if it's them who's asking for this, but it's just a small group of the media who's making this into a huge issue, and it shouldn't be. It's really taking a lot away. We should be. I didn't hear any comments today really about the actual game. You know, we're talking about this French issue, and it's sad because there's so many things that happened in that game or didn't happen in that game that should have been talked about, as opposed to keep on going with this French issue. It's just really. I love the French media in a lot of ways because I listen to a lot of sports on there, and I like a lot of what's going on. But when it comes to this, it's just sad.
I just, you know, when you mix politics and sports, you're always going to have a little bit of an explosion. And the thing is, the Habs are so intertwined with the political life in this country. And there have been so many things talked about the idea that when the Habs do well, there's more harmony in this town, that you don't see the divide on Rue Saint-Denis.
That's what I'm saying. It's part of the culture. And as much as a lot of people say, well, there's, you know, the French Canadians, for the most part, don't care. Well, there's clearly an agenda here, whether it's involving the media. And I can tell you there is a large segment of the population who want to see a French-speaking coach. It's just how it is. That's how it is. We have to accept it. This is the idea and the politics of our province, and this is how it is, and people are not ready to accept anything otherwise.
Good. So then let people know that the deck is stacked against automatically from the start. So, and again, I don't believe that every or a majority of, I think this is a sensationalism issue.
Oh, I don't think so either. I don't believe that either.
I think that this is certain members of the media blowing things out of proportion. I genuinely do. I don't think that this is a Jean-Guy on the street issue. I think the issue for Jean-Guy on the street is the same as the issue for Dave on the street. What the hell is wrong with my hockey team? And how do we fix it? And in the meantime, yeah, it's you know what? I'm proud of my awkward bilingualism. It's never been very good.
Moi aussi, je suis très fier d'être Québécois.
I'm very proud of being Québécois, but that has nothing to do with the language you speak. If you're from here, you're Québécois. The Pure Land, that I almost swore.
Well, that's just sectarianism. That's just sectarianism, and we're still going to get it because people are still feeling the saber. That's the problem.
It's militancy.
It's militancy, sure. And sectarianism, whatever you want to call it.
So thankfully, we don't live in Belfast.
No, it could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. This could be...
team couldn't wear orange or green.
This could be in Glasgow, and this could be Celtic and Rangers.
Right.
You know, thank God they folded up shop on the Wanderers all those years ago, and there's a team, and not a French team and an English team.
That's yeah, right. I was about to say we could be Atlanta, and just lost our team.
Yeah, well, for the second time, right?
Yeah.
No.
Go Jets. let's go to Sean in St. Henri. That's right, I said St. Henri, not St. Henry. Sean, how are you?
Not too bad. Enjoying the show so far.
Thank you.
I was going to talk initially about... The whole front of trades and what the Canadians could do in the future. But I just wanted to comment first on the whole issue of players not coming to Montreal because there's too much pressure, especially Francophone players. I really don't understand that from a fan standpoint. Like when you look at teams like the Yankees or the Red Sox or even the Toronto Maple Leafs, do you ever see a guy from Toronto saying that he doesn't want to play in Toronto because there's too much pressure on him? Or, a New Englander saying he doesn't want to play for the Red Sox because there's too much pressure? Or a New Yorker saying he doesn't want to play for the Yankees because there's too much pressure?
Like, no, but
I've never understood that.
But you also don't see it. You know, I can't think, who was the last great New Yorker to play for the Yankees? Was it Lou Gehrig? I don't know. Like, when I go through the greats, I don't see it as much. I think of the last... "quote unquote," great Boston Red Sox, and that was Manny Ramirez, who's from the Bronx, and he never wanted to go play in New York.
Exactly, but there's also a sense of pride here. When you get a French Canadian player playing for your own team, he's going to be under the microscope. The French Canadian culture is a very proud culture, as they should be, and when it's one of their own guys, they're gonna be cheering for the guy. He's gonna constantly be under the microscope. He's gonna be followed around with cameras. Stéphane Richer. And if he doesn't do well, they'll be even harder on him than they will the rest of the guys. Patrice Wieswa, for instance. Patrice Wieswa, I'm sure there's certain points where he said, Jesus, I could go to Florida and make my $4.5 million there and never be booed. You know, that's the problem.
I'd say Neil Young for coach of the Montreal Canadiens, but...
Well, he lives in San Jose.
I think he only speaks English, and I'd say Gord Downie, but I know that his French isn't perfect enough, and I'd say Leonard Cohen, but his English is a little wonky. How about Joel Plaskett from Nova Scotia? Vive le Canada! Vive le Québec! Et vive les Canadiens de Montréal!
I just noticed something lately. I've been here since 1980.
This is the Kauffman Show. Jimmy's going to tell you some scores. Give you a little heads up. Habs lost. In the morning, give or take a couple of minutes, like 7. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. You like this, Jimmy?
Maybe you could be my intern. An intern, I'll show you how I could. Everybody's head is bobbing in the studio,
as it should be. Kanye plus Otis equals auditory gold, except for Jay.
I'm not a Kanye fan.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. I'm an old school guy. I'm too old for this. It is so miserable. And I have no purpose.
Is that what's going to happen to me in 4 years?
That's
no. I'm still going to be in the front row at hip concerts.
I hit 35. I'm an official. My sister sent me a text, and she wrote, you know that you officially round off to 40 now.
Oh boy!
And that's all she wrote. She didn't even wish me a happy birthday. That's it. You know, I haven't spoken to her in 6 months, but that's it.
You guys familiar with Dimitri Martin?
Yes.
You had to think about it, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm familiar.
Okay.
Haven't seen a lot of his act.
He's a very funny dude, and you've seen him on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, his own show, Important Things with Dimitri Martin, and it was an absolute pleasure to talk to him today. We're going to let you sample his wares, and then you'll hear the interview on The Kauffman Show.
I like sports. I like professional football. I like to get, yeah. I like to get to the stadium. I like to get to the stadium and see the games live, you know? And I paint my chest before I leave the house. But I don't have that many friends, you know, so I usually just do punctuation. And, like, tack on a group already in progress. But sometimes, it works out kind of weird because we ended up on TV one time and it said, Jets?
Our next guest performs January 12th at Théâtre Maisonneuve of Place des Arts. You can get the tickets at hahaha.com, the Just for Laughs website. He's a humorist, a writer, a comedian, an actor, frankly, a 21st century renaissance man. Welcome to the Kauffman Show, Dimitri Martin.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
You're doing a promotional tour, promotional interviews, I guess. Is it all day that you've been doing these?
Not too bad. About an hour, maybe an hour and a half when I'm done. A few calls.
How annoying are they? Do you get the same questions over and over and over?
No, you know, I haven't done press in a while, so not too bad. I think if I space things out, you know, then I'm better off because there's more has happened in life to talk about, so it's not so bad.
I imagine your last big press tour was when your book came out in the spring, right?
Yep.
And how did that go for you?
It went well. My goal was to sell enough books so that I could get a deal to do another book, and I did, so I'm thrilled.
Nice.
I'm working on the next book now.
Oh, good stuff. I wonder, now, you play music, you do stand-up, you write for others as well, you act. What's your favorite medium to express your humor?
Stand-up was the first one that I tried, and it's definitely the reason I got into doing any of this stuff. And I think still, as much as I enjoy trying other things and learning and getting better at other things, as you know, the more I try them, stand-up is still my favorite. It's the most direct way to get to an audience.
I guess it absolutely is, because you get to see their reactions firsthand to what you're trying out. And
yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed about you is you're incredibly direct. You use as few words as possible, I find, to get whatever you're trying to get across. And that's something that's, I imagine, is very difficult and took a lot of time to perfect.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that is what I gravitate to. I love stuff that has a certain economy to it, jokes with a few words or drawings, just a few lines, things like that really, really appeal to me. And it does sometimes take a while to figure out how to get an idea down to just a few words.
When did you start incorporating drawings and graphs, if you will, into your act?
I started doing stand-up in 1997, and I think maybe in 1999 was the first time I brought some drawings on stage. I think, yeah, 99.
Was it in directly done to separate yourself from other observationalist humor?
I don't think so. You know, back then, I hadn't done any TV spots or anything, and sorry, there's a very large fire truck going by.
Oh, can't even hear it.
Oh, I should have just played it cool. I was just doing little rooms in New York. So at that point, I think most of the things that I was trying, they were just different experiments with ways of presenting ideas and jokes. You know, I did things with an overhead projector. I played different instruments with my jokes, and I didn't really ever use props. I guess the easel, if that counts as a prop, like that's probably as proppy as I ever got. But it was mostly because I have a lot of drawings in my notebooks. Sometimes when I'm trying to work out ideas, I'll just doodle a little something, and maybe that'll be the best way to communicate the joke. So I thought it would be fun to bring them on stage way back when I tried it. And then it worked pretty well. So then by the time I got a chance to do a TV special, I thought, oh, I'll make one of the segments drawings. That's how it worked.
And worked it quite did. In fact, I'd imagine that you're pretty much known for that. When you go up on stage just by yourself, probably people don't know what to expect.
Yeah, which is a funny thing to me, because most of the shows I've done in my life have been without drawing. Especially in New York over the years, you get a 10-minute spot here or 15 minutes there. You know, I show up and just tell jokes. Mostly what I do is tell jokes. But now that I have the luxury of going to perform in larger rooms and for longer amounts of time, you know, if I perform for 90 minutes, it's fun to mix it up and have 7 or 10 minutes of it include drawings.
How much of mixing it up is to do with boredom and trying to find something new always? I heard your WTF podcast with Maron, and I don't know if you were embellishing or not, but you said that you changed degrees 11 times.
No, I think it was. I remember counting at some point. It was like, I think I did change 11. You know, that wasn't like an official, I didn't have to file 11 times to say this is my degree and this isn't. It was just more, some of those were official changes where it was that far into my education that I had to go and declare something else. But half of those were probably before that, saying, oh, no, you know what, this professor, man, I love this guy. I'm going to major in psychology. And I have some great philosophy professors. They say, no, I'm going to major in philosophy. I was very impressionable, I think. So, now, yeah, there's a restlessness.
But certainly. Do you not see a direct tie to that and just the different, all the different fingers you have in different pies, maybe?
Yeah. I think that definitely there's no accident there, for sure. A long time ago, somebody described me as like, guy, you know, has like a restless mind. And I thought that was interesting because I feel usually pretty at peace as a person. Like, I know friends, especially comedians, who have more angst and they're kind of uneasy. But I will say at the same time, I do have trouble focusing on one thing. I don't have ADD, I don't think. You know, I've never been diagnosed or anything like that. I can work on one thing for a while, but I think I describe myself once as a nomadic obsessive, so that I can focus on something once I get to it, but I do wander around a lot, and I jump from thing to thing, and that somehow makes me feel more productive or something. You know, I feel like I'm doing better if I do that.
It's about grabbing onto what you're passionate about, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you choose something as a profession that is your own, so that I don't come from a comedy family and I had no connection to showbiz or stand-up or anything, once you've made one choice like that, it does empower you in a weird way to follow your passion, to say, all right, well, I disappointed everybody. I could go be a poet now. I'm not answering to anybody. It's just my work. You know, here we go. Or I'll try to be a musician. So it's great, and it's also tricky because you want to follow your passion, but you just don't want to distract yourself out of making something substantial.
When you dropped out of law school, did you know that this was the road that you wanted to go down?
Yes. I dropped out specifically to be a comic. I hadn't tried stand-up before I dropped out. I decided I'm going to go for stand-up, and then I left. You know, that was the timing worked out, that it was the spring. So I finished out the semester, and then that summer I started doing stand-up. And once I got on stage, I realized this is the kind of thing I should be pursuing. This feels right for me. And so that's it. I never looked back. I went for it.
We're finishing up with Dimitri Martin, and this is a sports show, Dimitri. I'm wondering if you're at all a sports guy.
Growing up, I was a big sports guy. I really sucked at team sports, which was a bummer for me because I'm from a town called Toms River, New Jersey, and we had the Little League World Champions, I think in 1998. That was after I left Toms River. But I played Little League and I played soccer. My family loved the Mets, so I watched the Mets all the time. I used to go to Mets games. And then when I was in college, I really liked college basketball. In recent years, I've lost touch with sports, pretty much with everything. I don't watch TV much or anything. I don't know who's winning what division or anything. I'm pretty checked out now. So it's more in the past tense for me.
Well, right now the big news in the world of sports, I think, is this religious guy named Tebow that seems to be performing miracles every Sunday.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, because I was flipping through and SNL was on, and there was a sketch last week. 2 weeks ago, maybe?
No, it was last Saturday night towards the end of the show. We'll actually be airing it a little bit later on this evening. That was a great
funny
little skit was it Andy Samberg playing the kicker? And Sudeikis is Tebow, I think?
Right. Sudeikis was the one I saw. Sudeikis was Jesus.
And, oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I figured it was something I didn't realize. I guess so they pulled out some real surprising victories, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and all very late in the fourth quarter. And really, I don't think that, much like when SNL parodied Sarah Palin, I don't think they changed the words of the main character very much from real life.
That's funny.
Yeah, it kind of is, but the weird intersection of sports and outer-worldly beings, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, you've got this show coming up at Place des Arts. At first, I thought it was just a Canadian tour, because that's how I think the Just for Laughs people are billing it, but you're doing a full North American tour this winter, and you're starting it up here. What makes you want to do a tour of Canada in the cold? Now, I know you've been to Montreal for Just for Laughs, so you've seen all the best that this city can offer. Why would you come when it's minus a billion?
Yeah, well, it's funny. My experience in Canada is Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. I've performed in a couple times. I've got a couple friends from Canada. I had a couple guys work on my show when I had the Comedy Central show, and I found both of them really funny, and I like what I know of the Canadian sensibility. I like crowds have been really good to me, so I thought, man, I'd love to go and do a tour, do some cities. I'm only doing six cities, but it's better than, you know, I haven't done really anything besides a couple shows here and there, and the timing just worked out. You know, I'm gonna shoot a new special in February in New York, and I wanted to get ready for it, so you know, it's game on. Here we go. And it happens to be January in Canada when I come, but that's all right. Well, by the way, I'm doing a promotion. It's called meetdimitri.com, and people can win backstage passes to my show, like free tickets, and come hang out backstage and stuff.
Yeah, you've guaranteed an awkward meet and greet.
That's right. Yeah.
Have you done those before?
No, I've never. I've met folks after the show and stuff, but usually just whoever's standing by the door at the end. But I don't usually have, like, people get free tickets and then come hang out backstage. It's not like there's any crazy stuff going on back there. It's just me hanging out usually on this tour with my friend Levi, who's actually a Canadian comedian, who's going to be opening for me. So we'll probably just be back there with some snacks. But, you know, it is fun to meet some of the people who come to my show, because what I've found over the years is a lot of the people at my show seem like my friends from college or some of my friends from high school. They kind of seem like my type. You know, my type of people. I say, oh yeah, you remind me of so-and-so. It's not usually like some huge muscle guy who would have beaten me up in high school comes backstage. Like, yo, you're a dork. You know, it's usually like another dork like me, so it's fine.
Well, from one dork to another, I've already entered the contest. I hope I win. And I will definitely be at the show on January 12th. You can go to hahaha.com to get the tickets. Dimitri, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
I went into a shoe store and I said, hey, can I get those in a 10? The guy said, sure, and he went in the back. Then a couple minutes later, he came out and he goes, I don't have a 10, I have a 9. Great. Because while you were in the back, my toes were severed off. Normally, it would be retarded for you to say a number different than what we agreed on. But given my very recent accident, you're right on. Congratulations, you're rehired.
MeetDimitri.com, hahaha.com for the tickets, January 12th. Tad Mizanovit Plastizar, Dimitri Martin. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin, Jimmy G on the board. Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
Jay, I know where you are on Saturday nights, but Mark, were you cool enough to be at home on Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm a loser. So.
Well, I was a loser too this Saturday night, and all to our benefit, because
there's a little show, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned before we had Neil Young playing his cover of the theme of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That, of course, was my main man, Jimmy Fallon. Once again, send letters to NBC. The guy deserves a television show. He really does, and at a proper time slot, too.
Doesn't he?
Jimmy Fallon needs a TV show somewhere before midnight when people can listen and watch and hear. No, he's not on now, or at least not 11 minutes from now. Anyway, The Kaufman Show, you've got it on, which means we've obviously done something right tonight, and we appreciate it. For all of you who weren't by your televisions on Saturday night, a couple of very interesting special guests on Saturday Night Live. Why don't you take a listen?
All right, all right. Hey, guys, I want to thank you all for believing in me. I know it started off a little shaky out there, but we pulled it out because we stuck together. And also, I got to thank the most important person in my life, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I could not do this without him. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, Jesus, he has risen.
Well, no, not really. Just a quick visit. So, hey, everybody, take a seat. Go ahead, take a seat. Chill out. First of all, you're welcome. All right. Yes, I, Jesus Christ, am indeed the reason you've won your past 6 football games. Okay?
I knew it!
Oh, Tim, easy. Hey, buddy, leave a little room for the Holy Ghost, okay? All right. Here's the thing, okay? If we're going to keep doing this, you guys got to meet me halfway out there. I mean, let's face it. It's not a good week if every week I, the Son of God, have to come in, drop everything, and bail out the Denver Broncos in the fourth quarter, okay? I'm a busy guy.
So, wait, you're only helping in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Have you watched the game film, Tim, of the first half? I mean, come on, 3 for 16? You know, I can throw better. I'm 2010 years old, huh?
I pray to you before every game.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, and I appreciate that. But here's something else you should do before the game, okay? Yeah, stretch.
You know, get the arm warm, you know, read the playbook, all right? Do you read that?
The Holy Bible is my playbook.
Oh, okay, great. That's great. That's great. But you need to read the regular playbook, okay? Seriously, I'm doing all the work here.
Oh, come on, don't be so hard on Tim. He's helping us win.
Oh, that's cute, that's cute. No, Tim's doing his best, Dad bless him. But you know who you should be thanking? Your kicker. Okay? I mean, you don't win unless this guy hits a 59-yarder. I'm serious, man. Matt Prater, I pray to you, brother.
Wow. You pray to me? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, you know, that's because I'm not in everyone's face about it.
So Jesus just spends his time helping people win football games?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I just go where people call me the most. You know, nowadays, that's a lot of football games. Also, the Country Music Awards. You know, I decide all those. I'm right there at any black event where food is served.
Hey, man.
I'm sorry. I'm forgiven. All right. You see, the point is, you guys got to help yourselves a little. I mean, can you do that for me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, now listen, I can't be around next week. I got a big birthday coming up, and kind of tough to shop for. I mean, what do you get for the man who sacrificed everything, right? Easy, don't need that. That's a medium joke at best. I don't need that, all right? Come on. But here's my advice, all right? Just focus up, all right? And you'll be fine. All right? Who you play next?
The Patriots.
Oh, boy, really? Wow, okay. Did not know that. That's going to be a tough one. I mean, hey, this doesn't leave this room, okay? But if I'm the son of God, Tom Brady's got to be the guy's nephew. All right? That guy's a miracle worker, okay? Oh, but that coach Belichick? Well, let's just say... So they're coming at you both ways there, all right? So, anywho, I'm off to a beauty pageant, okay? Best of luck next week. I'll try to watch. Tim? I love you. Okay,
I love you too.
Okay, all right. But just take it down a notch, will you, buddy?
Yes, Lord. Whatever you command.
Okay, with not a command, just a request. All right. I gotta catch this cloud. Okay, I'll see you all. Oh, by the way, Mormonism, all true, every single word. Yeah. All right. Peace.
See you guys.
Well, I thought that was just brilliant, gentlemen.
I didn't actually see it. That was the first time I heard it. So.
Well,
yeah.
Audio alone, I think that was...
yeah, it's good enough, I'm sure.
I, for one, am more from the maybe Funke school of religion.
The maybe Funke?
George Michael, I don't think you should be going on this promised land thing.
What? Why, is this because I missed school?
No.
You didn't miss school for that?
And that's when maybe decided to become a devout Christian.
Do you guys know where I could get one of those gold necklaces with a T on it?
That's a cross.
A cross from where?
Yes.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
You're not wearing your tee today, dude.
No, I left my tee at home and my cap.
Oh, I got mine, boys.
Do you? Okay, good.
Oh, good. All right. Well, okay.
This is the Coffin Show. We ward off evil.
Just in case. Just in case everything is true, we take every precaution.
Dimitri Martin, by the way, his father was a Greek Orthodox priest.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, very interesting little side note to him when you add that in.
So he was dunked headfirst into a bath during his baptism.
Is that how you do it?
Pretty much.
Good.
In front of hundreds of people.
I just learned something.
It's devotion, gentlemen. It's devotion.
Take it down even a little bit. That's how strong my love is. That's how strong my love is.
Gotta believe, right? Gotta believe.
Come on, I'm upset! That's how strong my love is. That's how strong my little love. That's how strong my love is, yeah. That's how, come on, that's so wild. You can't get away.
For all you believers out there, we're listening all together to the Coffin Show tonight. We appreciate it. Because like Tim Tebow and all the rest of them, you got to believe in something, right?
Whatever floats your boat or ark.
Hey, for some it's music, some it's religion, some it's the Habs. For some it's the Expos. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back.
Se passant, qui traverse le temps de temps en temps. Alors je pars à la dérive, mon lit est un navire, un atelier où je vais pour l'éternité. Voyageur d'un instant présent, je ne sais pas.
Salut!
Salut!
C'est le Kaufman Show?
Oui, c'est ça.
Est-ce qu'on dit RDS 990 ou est-ce que c'est encore TSN?
On peut changer RDS si vous voulez.
Yeah. Est-ce qu'il y a des personnes qui écoutent?
Il y a du monde.
Ouais.
C'est clair, il y a du monde qui écoute à cette heure.
Alors appelons-nous.
Nous sommes ici pour vous.
514-790-0990 1-866-896-2546. Et ça, c'est John the Wolf. Always liked John Leloup. I think the guy's pretty cool.
Great stuff.
Yeah,
great
I think stuff. He's pretty awesome. And if there wasn't a big fat F word right there, we'd keep playing on it.
It was such a fat F word. Worse than Griffin's Franco's before.
Yeah. I apologize for that.
Like you said, you're allowed,
it's
right?
It's just you got to be careful when you can't put too much stink on certain things, you know? It's like... You know, it's like there's a certain way of saying Jew, you know. It's Louis C.K. said it. There's it's both the polite term and the derogatory term for a group of people, you
right.
know. It's if you put a little stink on it, and all of a sudden it's not so nice anymore, you know.
I'd like to thank our guests tonight, Marcel Dion, Dimitri Martin.
I can't believe we had Marcel Dion on the show.
I know, pretty cool, huh?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was...
I'm smitten.
With Marcel Dion.
With Marcel Dion.
Well, he was very candid. And when I spoke to him this afternoon, he said, "Why do you want me?" And which I think is hilarious because, yeah. I mean, look at his pedigree.
Yeah.
But then he answered it himself. He's like, "I know why. Because I don't have to take orders from Bettman." Boom. Oh,
interesting.
And that's pretty much it. This is one of the greats.
Seems very down to earth, too.
Yeah. He runs a memorabilia store in Niagara Falls.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can go in there and meet him, like, any old day.
I'll stop in next time I'm in
Next
Niagara,
time you're down by the falls.
When I'll never be there again.
What a great job when you're an older guy, just running a store, you know.
Well, let's hope that the NHL pension plan allows him to live out his life happily, because, you know, only one of six guys with 700 goals. This is someone serious that I should never even think of confusing with Gilbert Dion.
No, I don't think Marcel ever slapped his chest after scoring his only goal ever.
It's his younger brother, you know.
Yes, I know.
18 or 19 years his junior.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that Marcel Dion was his father.
That's what I always thought.
Yeah.
Big family, I guess.
I guess, or at least they like to do things staggered and far apart. Well, 18 years difference, my goodness.
Perhaps if it was his father, he would have been a better hockey player.
I get it. It was young Marcel just made the National Hockey League. Let's celebrate. So this is the Kaufman Show, and we're slowly running out of racetrack again, as the great Mr. Teven would say. And wow, is it fun to talk about language issues and coaching issues.
Yeah, we were a little controversial today.
Yay, so much fun.
Yeah, we don't hold back. That's how we roll. Huh? Right, Dave?
That's how we roll.
You got to back me up on this, Dave. Thank you.
Yes, I think it's absolutely how we roll, Mr. F. I really enjoyed being on air tonight, and I hope that we've brought you guys a couple of guests that you've enjoyed listening to. And again, we want to do this more often. We really have fun.
Yeah. Well, you were, I don't know what lit a fire under your ass today, but you were.
A few things.
Yeah.
Emotion can be a good thing.
Yeah. I've seen some fire in you, and I'm very proud of you, sir.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. And I include last week's show as well. Fantastic stuff.
Thank you.
Great stuff. I'm very proud to be a part of this.
Thank you. Same goes for me.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to work with all three of you every week. And I hope that we bring you guys out there in Radio Land a quality product. And I hope to do it again next week.
Yeah. A little bit of a different edge to it. A little bit of a different type of fire. We like to get the callers, and it seems like it's working. You know, you want to raise some good points, and you want to talk about things that are not usually talked about during the day.
So Randy Cunnyworth needs to be given a chance.
Cunnyworth.
Just accept the name and love it, embrace it. Drink it off your tongue like a fine wine. Randy Cunnyworth. This man deserves a chance. This team is no better than it was this time last week.
This guy's had the hardest last 3 days I could imagine that anyone has ever had. It's horrible. I just couldn't imagine being in his shoes right now.
You remember Obama when he first took office and like within 3 weeks he went gray? That's me, Cunnyworth, in 3 weeks.
Isn't he already gray?
His first 100 days in office.
Bald now.
Have you seen pictures of Obama from when he was elected till now?
No. Side by side?
Yeah.
No, not really.
In one, he has black hair, and in one, he has white hair. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The amount of stress that they say that U.S. presidents age twice as quickly while in office. That if you're in office for 8 years, you will age 16 years. And unfortunately, they really don't spend enough time relaxing. And, you know,
so
perhaps,
if
the Habs were to follow a lead of presidents and take a little bit of that me time and relax, sort of like on Parks and Rec last week when they had their little UN tete-a-tete, maybe it's time for a little visit to Camp David.
If you rearrange the letters of Peru, you could spell Europe.
That's not true.
Well, you have to rearrange them.
Oh.
Delegates! I know that you're angry with each other. Hopefully this will be your opportunity to have your very own Camp David. In high school, my buddy David Fundus would have these campouts in his backyard. We would just chill out, have a bonfire, talk about whatever was on our mind. We called it Camp David.
How do you know about Camp David?
How do you know about Camp David?
Okay,
indeed. Maybe everybody should just relax. A little Pierre Gauthier, Randy Cunnyworth, Jeff Molson jaunt out to Tremblant during the All-Star break. I don't think any of those three are going to be welcome in the...
Are you implying that Randy Cunnyworth has to kill Osama bin Laden in order to get some of the pressure off?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
That helped, by the way.
My God.
It helped a little bit.
You know, with all the despots dropping left, right, and center... You'd think that Obama would be in better shape than he is.
Right.
Everybody but Ahmadinejad. The whole damn axis of evil's gone right now.
Cunnyworth has his own axis of evil.
Dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, did you see the scenes of just utter desolation in Pyongyang?
No, I haven't.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Just people sobbing like... Hundreds of people, thousands of people in the streets.
Thousands of extras? I mean, people?
I don't think they're called extras. I think they're called citizens who don't have access to any information.
Or too much information.
And don't know any better.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Or very selective information.
That is possible, too. That is possible, too. But I don't think there's any internet or any cell phone in Pyongyang. No, I'm wrong. That was from the Bell Center on Saturday morning after Jacques Martin was fired. I'm so sorry. What a major diplomatic faux pas. That was really silly.
That is the most contrived piece of BS I've ever seen in my life. I don't believe a second of that video. Not a second. It's kind of like when they took down Saddam Hussein's statue. You know? You know, it's like seven guys. They're all like, I don't know. They just got them off the street and paid them $50.
Oh, no, wait, Jay, I was wrong again. And that was the sound of Toronto today after finding out that they didn't get Yu Darvish.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how many people sound like the open, weeping populace of Pyongyang.
It's universal.
It truly is, Mark.
I believe that people are more upset about Darvish as they are about this guy dying. It's the stupidest video I've ever seen in my life.
You know, I don't have much else to say about this, but I will say this. I think that Vaclav Havel picked the wrong day to die. Because way too much attention went to someone I once heard referred to on this station as Kim Jong-tu.
Kim Jong-tu. the sequel.
I saw a tweet yesterday that said King Kong died.
And then there was that thing going around of the 25 tweets about how Little Kim died.
Oh, Little Kim died.
Yeah. Which thankfully didn't turn into Montreal or Andy Kim dying. Because that would have just been a tragedy.
Are we playing 6 degrees of separation right now through names?
I don't know what we're playing. We're running out of time.
we're playing politics now.
And we're having fun.
Also, we're political geniuses.
We are always political geniuses, Jay. That's
okay, I'll
always
go with
been
that.
My goal has always been to be a political genius on TSN 990. A staunch leftist, holding the banner for the rest of us, not being put down too much by Mr. Rod Francis, ultra-conservative, and his good friend Stephen Harper, and John Baird, and Rona Ambrose, and all those people that, if you want to work me up, get me all into it.
Little devil's advocate.
No, you know what? Stephen Harper speaks better French than me. He should coach the Habs. You listen to The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back.
You don't knock, just walk on in. The door to heaven is. There's love, joy for you. To share the whole day through. I know my friends are there. To rest, heaven is. You don't knock, strain, push or hold. Doors wide open, waiting for you, so you don't knock. You just walk on in.
Ah, the Detroit Cobras. You don't knock. Thanks for showing me this one, Grody.
You just walk on in.
And we're back on the Kaufman Show. 10 minutes left. Guys, I say this every Monday. Wish we could go longer.
I'm ready to go another two. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's just do it. Who's going to stop us?
The janitor.
Did you see Jimmy's face when I said that? I don't believe that that's necessary, Jay.
Haven't we talked enough sports for this fair evening? My favorite Dimitri Martin line, by the way, I couldn't find it tonight when I was preparing some audio for you guys, but that he likes to wait 2 weeks to tell people things so that he can use the word Fortnite.
Wow.
Yes, I appreciate Lincoln-esque humor.
Nobody has used that since Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, I don't believe.
Hey, if we had the Olympics are a fortnight.
They are a fortnight.
I think they're 2 weeks long. That's something that you could use it for.
A vacation could be a fortnight?
Oh, damn straight. I would be very happy with a vacation that was a fortnight's length.
I've had a few relationships that are a fortnight.
Haven't we all? We forget about those. We just call those mistakes.
Regrets. Shame.
Jay had a few.
My relationship was a fortnight. I'm going to write a song. I don't know.
14 lines. I don't know. I think for a relationship as short as a fortnight, you should be writing haikus, not songs.
Yeah.
And that's been Poetry Corner on the Coffin Show. It's been an interesting night. There was a hockey game. A few people wanted to talk about it. A few people wanted to trade Mike Camilleri for, was it a hockey bag? Or was it somebody?
It was a couple of pucks and a plane ticket. Yeah.
It was Eric Staal.
Eric Staal, that's right.
Thanks for that call, by the way. That was awesome. I like getting my back up. It's good fun. And this,
I think that's what lit the fire under your ass, by the way. I think that guy did.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, because you know what? I love this place. And if you're going to slag it off, then at least back it up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You know, you can't just throw out trades like that, people. It's just not going to happen. What kind of, I mean, it's just mindless speculation. You know, it's, you're not collecting OPC cards. You know, these guys, you know, this is not a fantasy league. You know, this is business. This is, there's consequence. There are certain.
That's right. And
know,
the
issues.
Consequence to this business is that I imagine that you can buy tickets for a hockey game from the box office now.
Likely.
And not from a ticket broker. I think that the differences are being felt, and if they're not now, then they will in the off season. Because as a season ticket holder, I'll tell you, it's almost as expensive for the playoffs as it is for the regular season. A lot of money is made off those playoff tickets, and if they're not selling them, my tickets went up 20% this year, Jay. Before the season started.
Got a lot of nerve, huh?
My tickets went up almost 20% this year. I sit center ice in the Grays. I mentioned it before, section 301, row B, come say hello.
That's a lot in this economy, 20%.
Yeah, it was high, but they're still reasonable. They're still I mean, what was the face value on the Canucks ticket? It was 42 a ticket, I think.
Yeah, about that.
That's, for that seat, I think that's more than reasonable. On the secondary market, it would be double that. I know, because for the longest time, I only got my Habs season tickets when the Expos left. I took the money that I had been sinking into the Expos, into that sinking ship called the Expos, and put it into the Habs and
put it in the next sinking ship.
By golly, look how great they're doing now.
Went from the Titanic to the Lusitania.
Curse of the Yuppie?
Could be that. Could be that.
I'm all for Yuppie.
Well, it doesn't speak any languages.
That's okay.
Well, that's perfect. Maybe if you just shut up, you can be a great coach.
You can't piss anybody off.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock went to McGill University. Where's the McGill tie for every big game? It's his lucky McGill tie. I'm pretty sure if you go onto my Facebook page, I'm on the Mike Babcock's lucky tie as one of my likes. And if I have enough time in my life to go and like that, then you guys have more than enough time to go on Facebook and like the Kaufman Show. I'll appreciate it. Mike Babcock. Just the fact that there isn't an automatic yes/we across the board when a name like that is mentioned baffles the mind.
Cunnyworth.
Muller.
Roy.
Tom Landry.
Wow.
Yeah, well, okay. Come on. You know, this is a business. Politics is politics. Sport at its most grassroots and organic of levels is about the game. You all know this isn't about the game anymore. Maple Leafs are about to merge. Bell and Rogers are going to join up and purchase, if it hasn't already happened, a majority share from the Ontario Pension Plan, the Teachers' Pension Union. Do you think they care if the Maple Leafs win a Stanley Cup? It's about content filling. The Montreal Canadiens are on this station, and I'm pretty sure that we're paying a lot of money for that privilege because it's content. You want to associate yourself with the greatest name in sports. Or if it's Bell and Rogers' case, you want to associate yourself with one of the most mediocre hockey teams that's ever existed. But a lot of people watch the Leafs, so it doesn't matter if they win or not. And it's never mattered. It never mattered to Harold Ballard. It mattered to, I guess, the Cliff Fletcher Leafs, but they just couldn't get there. Mattered to the Habs for a while. Yeah, the voice cracked. It mattered to the Habs for a while. It did. And there was a 5-year plan. And unfortunately, in the 5-year plan, it didn't happen. And you know what? You start over. You blow it up and you start over. And it doesn't matter. David Desharnais understands Randy Cunningworth. And from where I'm sitting, I can't hear him speak. I don't care who coaches the Montreal Canadiens as long as they win. For Jay Farrar and Mark Griffin and Jimmy G, I'm Dave Kaufman. And this is The Kaufman Show.
Love this town. I saw you back in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?